Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for Banal of America
of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison. Welcome back to another edition of BOA Audio Season 10, starting into uncharted waters tonight. Different episode. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's one I've wanted to do for a while now, and When I sailed into this patch of first-time guests, as I said to Mark Schneck last week, I really had a very short list of people, and this guy was on it. I've been chasing him down for most of the summer. He's going to be a lot different from what you would normally hear on the show, folks, but I think just as illuminating and equally hilarious probably to anybody we've had on the show. I think we're going to have a lot of laughs. He's been listening to the program for a long time, and I just checked tonight. We've been Facebook friends since 2012. And the story is really that I was watching TV, and I always watched. I watched a lot of TV, essentially. And then this was like a year or two ago, and then I was on my Facebook, and he popped up on my timeline. And I was like, that's that guy from Idiot Sitter I watched last night. Like, what's he doing on my timeline? And I looked, and I'm like, how have we been friends for all this time? Like, what is going on here? The guy from, you know, and I looked further into him, like, he's on Drunk History, and I started seeing him everywhere. And I'm like, oh, my God, that guy, how am I friends with that guy? Like, what is going on? And then we got in touch, and he's been a listener to the program for forever and ever. And his name is Steve Berg, and I'm sure you've seen him, folks, because he's all over the place. He's been on Drunk History, Idiot Sitter. He's pretty regular on those shows. He can give me the real details on this as far as, like, how to – I wasn't sure how to bill you because you've done all kinds of stuff.
You're doing great.
All right. On the Goldbergs, he's the mailman on the Goldbergs, which I think is cool because, as I was explaining to my mom, it's like, so now when they write a scene and they need a mailman – chances are they just get him. So, because I looked, he's been on like two of them now. So it's like every time they write a mailman scene, they're like, get Steven for the mailman scene, I hope. So they need to do an episode about you. When they get into like the eighth or ninth season, they'll be like,
there we go.
What are we going to fucking write about? The mailman.
There will be no stories left, and so they'll just have to do in mailman a story.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's all over the place, folks. And I watch a lot of TV and shit, and I, you know, I got a really good feeling about him, and I mean this for real, folks. Like, he's just got the personality and the face and the character and the charisma, you know? There's an expression in wrestling. It's, you got the angel on your shoulder, man. I can see it. And every time I see Steve on TV, I'm like, this guy is going to be fucking huge. Like, I'm telling you, man, I really have that genuine feeling when I see it. And it's not just because I mean, look at, dude, I see all kinds of people on TV all the time. It's like,
right.
But when you crossed on my timeline, it's like immediately made a connection. I was like, that's that guy from that show last night that I thought was fucking hilarious.
So, oh, rad, man. Thanks, dude. That's nice of you to say. I'll tell you, I'm just happy to be doing it. It's pretty good. I don't need to be any huger. I feel like I like this level.
I know what you mean, baby.
Yeah, we can, you know, like, I can still, like, sneak into, like, the, you know, a nice, like, UFO conference, which is fun to go to. So I don't want to, you know, that would be horrible if you couldn't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm so far from that.
That's true. Well, yeah. I don't even know where to begin. How did you give us sort of like the bio, the background?
Yeah.
Like, how did you wind up out in Hollywood and pursuing this as like, you know, as a career? That's like a that takes some serious guts.
Yeah, you know, like I was like a really, I mean, I guess a weird kid, I suppose, and I was really into UFOs, but I was also like really into like weird foreign cinema, like at a young age. Like, I got into David Lynch movies when I was like in sixth grade. I think I was like just before I turned 12, and that kind of changed my whole life. Yeah, so I obsessively started watching Lynch films and Kubrick movies and anything that was like weird or kind of vanguard. Really like tripped my trigger, and I think which those kinds of, you know, surrealist films kind of go hand in hand with you know, all the topics you talk about on your show. To me, they're the same thing. So yeah, I got really into movies, and then, like, you know, I went to film school at the University of Kansas, but was also kind of doing acting on the side, and it was weird because, like, I wasn't that into acting, but I did, like, you know, some improv and comedy in college, and it just, like, seemed to go pretty good. And then I came out to L.A. sort of with the idea that I would wanted to be a director, but not, like, a Hollywood director. I wanted to make, like, basically David Lynch ripoff movies. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saffir shot remakes of movies. I'm so obsessed with that guy. But I was also, like, very into comedy and kind of the alternative comedy scene. So I started, like, taking classes at Second City, and then, you know, the improv, long-form improv world just kind of clicked with me. And I did a ton of sketch, and then, yeah, I just kind of started working in TV, and that sort of took over the whole filmmaking dreams, to be honest, because then once I started making a living as an actor, I'm like, well, I can't really, you know, turn back now. So, but maybe one day, maybe one day.
Yeah,
that's kind of the long and short of it. You know, I don't want to bore people to death with all that, you know, that Hollywood story.
Well, dude,
we've all heard it.
I guess, yeah, we've all heard it in a sense, but at the same time, it's interesting. Like, everybody knows somebody that wants to, like, dreams of going out to Hollywood and
right.
doing shit, and it's like, you actually
right.
did it. That's pretty fucking.
It wasn't like a total accident. I mean, I was very, like, weird. I was a weird and calculated kid. So, like, at 13, I was like, well, when I'm out of college, I move to Los Angeles, and I just work in the film business, and there's nothing else I'm going to do. I won't, you know, that's it, period. So I think, you know, even if I, like, you know, was still, like, out here, you know, 15 years later doing nothing, I still would be trying, probably, because I don't know, really, what else I would do. So,
yeah, exactly. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think we kind of set up those kinds of parameters for yourself, like, this is what I'm going to do, I have to make it work, you kind of just make it work, so.
That's, like,
yeah.
That's kind of how I've been with this all, stuff, you know, in a sense. It's
absolutely.
Like, I'm diving into this paranormal shit, and I know it's crazy, and I know people, like, you know, I knew all along it was like, this might not. Might not be a good idea, but it's like, this to me seems like the most interesting thing to look at I could, you know?
You know, I'm with you on that, man. It's like, you know, it's some of the most, I mean, that's why I'm into your show. I feel like it's some of the most thought-provoking, takes you out of, like, you know, your day-to-day troubles, get a shitty day at work, but then you can come back, you know, and, like, read a book about this stuff or listen to your show. It really is just like, for me, it's like almost taking the place of, like, watching movies a lot. Like, this kind of research and this kind of listening to you and people you have on your show really just kind of, like, is a great escape for me. Even though I feel like it's scientifically valid and all that stuff, but it is a nice escape. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't try to, you know, with the exception of, like, the meat-eating horses, we don't try and change anyone's mind.
I love the meat-eating horse classic.
I know. I should get that guy back on, but I don't know what's new in the world of meat. You know, it'd be like a 5-minute interview. Are they still eating meat? Yep. All right. Nice talking to you.
Look, if he could just regale us with some more stories, I would be down for it.
I think so. I got to get in touch with him.
Yeah, what a legend.
So what are the – because when we talked, I had the chance to meet Steve at a fabulous gathering in L.A., Paramania 2.
Fabulous gathering.
Yeah, at an amazing restaurant. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. Steve Ray was around.
Was it called Clifton?
Clifton's, yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That place was, by the way, Greg Bishop. The best, right? I mean, you know, like, he put together such a wonderful, like, weekend. I was only able to hang out one night, but man, we had fun.
We had a blast.
Into the wee of
the
hour.
Cool. Yeah.
Great. What a great group of people, too.
Yeah. Be there?
I felt lucky to be there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, weird.
I felt
like a fax machine. Are you faxing
something? Yeah, that would... Okay. I'm faxing something. I'm getting my lines for tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
There's a fax
nice.
Machine. I'm kidding.
Oh, that, I don't know how Hollywood works.
I know. I know.
I'm going to get off the phone and be like, guess what I found out in Hollywood? They still fax the lines. Like, you're an asshole.
I wish, man. Oh, but that would be so cool. That would probably be a pretty money move, though.
What, to fax the lines?
Yeah, don't email Steve a script. He only takes faxes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How elusive he is.
We mostly talked about, so is UFOs like your main bag, or are there other,
you
like,
know,
what's your, if you had to break it down somewhat. You
interesting
know,
question.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think UFOs for me was the gateway drug of the esoteric or paranormal and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. I remember that was like the first books I checked out at the public library. I think were like Billy Meyer picture books, you know. Like,
yeah,
and as a kid, I'm like showing my. I remember like showing my dad, going, "Dad, look at this. This is real. Why are you not talking about this?" Like, and he's like, "What are you? What? Go play football, please. Do something else." You know, I was like, "I'm like, case closed. There's aliens. Holy shit! You can't fake that." So, I mean, I got from a young age, for some reason, I didn't grow up with like any religion. So I think a lot of times kids who don't grow up with religion replace it with something weird themselves. And I think, maybe aliens and UFOs and like, you know, ghosts and all that stuff that was on, Unsolved Mysteries was like, you know, my religion as a kid,
yeah.
Anything weird. I had the Time Life books. I read so many UFO books. I used to go to UFO conventions when I was like 13 years old.
Really?
And I would get out of school. Yeah, I would get out of school for it, and then I'd write a paper, and I'd miss class.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a local guy who taught at a college in Omaha, Nebraska, where I'm from, named Dr. Jack Kasher.
That sounds kind of familiar.
And yeah. He was the dude, but do you remember that one, gosh, it was in the good old UFO 90s.
Oh, yeah.
There was like that, like, right outside of Earth's orbit, there was like that, like one like ice crystal that shot up into space, or not ice crystal, but that one like people said it was an ice crystal. He was saying it was something with propulsion. Anyways, it was a big deal, and he was kind of like the physicist who was like, you know, the dude who was spearheading that. But anyways, he was like the Nebraska, you know, MUFON chapter head. So he would like have like UFO talks all the time, and I loved them. So I would go. Yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at it now. It was the one of the research projects. He analyzed the video, the famous STS-48 video from the space shuttle with the ice that went by,
yes.
And everyone was like,
exactly.
It's,
right. It's actually it's really cool footage, too. And I remember at the time it was kind of like a big deal, and I don't know, maybe that's like since been totally debunked, but
I always
thought that was like really intriguing, you know. But
well, it's funny. I was thinking about that today, about UFO cases. In a sense, it's like they almost don't even need to be debunked. They just go on
right. Forever.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like I couldn't tell you. No one really. You can't prove a negative, I guess, right? So nobody ever proved that it wasn't a UFO. So it just fades into, you know.
Yeah, man. I think it's like unprovable, really. You know, to tell you the truth, like I think it almost is, like in a weird way. What are we trying to prove? You know, like, I think, you know, at least I don't believe in much. I believe there is, you know, maybe something flying around in our skies that's not of our intelligence.
Mm.
But what it is, holy shit.
Right.
You know, at least that's kind of my hope. I've never seen anything myself, unfortunately.
Okay, now what about so UFOs is your main thing. Are you into, like, other shit like Bigfoot and ghosts? Or
yeah,
kind of like...
I mean, all the stuff that got – yeah, definitely. I was for a while. You know, honestly, like, ghosts and Bigfoot were never as big for me.
Yeah.
And they've really fallen off the map for me. So I basically just kind of keep one foot in the UFO world reading about –
All right, nice.
I'm sort of a specialist, but you know what? I think, like, my graduation process from UFOs has been more like – just kind of like, you know, all you know, and look, I take a lot of cues off you and Radio Mysterioso and, you know, everyone who's at Paramania, all those kinds of minds like Joshua Cutchin, you know, guys, you know, like, I think the kind of stuff you guys are talking about, like, you know, talking about UFOs is like, here's the subject, but the subjects you guys are discussing are the stuff I'm really interested in now.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make any sense? I'm not articulating it very well, but...
No, I think, yeah, you're talking about how it's kind of like, you see it in a way where There's this sort of like splinter sort of thought process going on where people are sort of like, all right, let's try everything. Let's just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, kind of
idea. Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
which
like, just
I'm a fan of, but you mentioned earlier, like, I've almost moved beyond the question of UFOs, and now I'm sort of circled back around to, like, who are these people? Like, I find more,
yeah.
like, we were talking about that before we went on the air, but,
yeah.
like, to me, like, pontificating about the nature of UFOs is like, oh, Jesus. But to me, it's like, what are these people doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man, I know.
They've been doing it for, like, decades, and, you know.
Well,
what happened?
Well, I know.
Where did it go wrong? That's like what we talked about with Mark O'Connell a couple weeks ago.
I mean, think about how many ufologists out there have, like, you know, been doing it for decades and writing books, and then all of a sudden they're like 61, they look in the mirror and they're like, my life.
Yeah.
What did I do? I got nowhere. And it's so, that's so scary. And I feel there's a certain bravery to people who dedicate their lives to this.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
stupidity too, but you know, to sell a theory or an idea and have to hold true to that theory because you need to sell books is just hilarious to me. That's what I find the comedy in these fields to be some of the best around, to be honest.
How so?
You know, like, well, okay, see, like, a lot of people like to get up in arms about, like, Stephen Greer and, you know, Corey Good and all these, you know, like, I'm not afraid to say, kind of whack jobs, you know?
Right, right, right.
Or, I mean, like, look, they're just not how I perceive this whole thing. Anyways, I feel
yeah.
like, you know, they're more entertainment.
Exactly, yeah.
But the people, them and the people who, like, support their claims, to me, are hilarious, man. I mean, like, I saw David Wilcox in a restaurant one time in Topanga Canyon, and I was hammered, and I was so excited. And I actually, I couldn't even, I was so, like, starstruck because, I mean, I think he's a ridiculous person, but I was so starstruck
right, yeah,
at, like,
yeah.
such a ridiculous person. I was like, oh, my God, I can't even talk to him. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. So all the personalities are very interesting to me. I think I have a couple specialties in the personality world that I like to really get into. Well, this summer when I met you in person, I was going on about Dan Smith.
Right, right. You were really into the Grant Cameron, Dan Smith disclosure. What happened with that? I have that sort of in my mental notes. Like,
yeah.
Because it was they were churning it out like around April where it was like, this could
– Oh.
They were saying this is
imminent
and shit, and now it's like September.
Oh, yeah. And well, they're still – like, look, he's – apparently, according to Dan Smith, and I read his blog – on Open Minds Forum daily, and I have since 2010, and it is truly some of the most challenging writing I have ever read in terms of, like, being able to comprehend it. And that is the fun of it for me, because Dan Smith is either a genius or absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can be both in this case. But, yeah, so, like, him, Grant Cameron, I think, was more just a spectator and champion for Dan Smith, not
right.
really, like, involved in his theories. But Dan Smith, what makes him interesting to me is that he legitimately has this tight connection with Ron Pandolfi,
mm-hmm.
you know, who is obviously a huge player in kind of, like, the UFO, you know, government, you know, relations and all that stuff. And so what's made all this ramp up into a fevered frenzy in the last, like, few months is that Ron Pandolfi's wife, Aaliyah Pandolfi, who claims to be a princess that came here from a pod in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
She has been doing these go-to meetings with Dan Smith, which are, like, you know, they're kind of like, you know, like, basically big conference calls. You call into this number and some people are on live video and whatever. So anyways,
right,
it's like
right,
20 people on these things, and I've been doing all of them. And Ron Pandolfi is talking in the background. Like, he's there. And it's bizarre to me. And because, like, the thing about it, like, it's hard to find information about Ron Pandolfi. But, like, from what I can tell, he's been quoted multiple times, like, the New York Times as being a big-time CAA guy, you know, and, like, in some pretty big stuff. So the fact that Ron Pandolfi, for all these years, has been, like, hanging out with Dan Smith and supposedly releasing, like, weird information through him, because, like, you know, he's basically the liaison, Dan Smith is. I find that compelling, you know, when, like, and maybe Dan, you know, maybe it's all bullshit, but my God, I am enjoying the story so much.
So where does it stand now? Like, because last I heard, they were talking, like, I remember one of them was, like, one of the posts that was in, like, April was, like, the Gray Lady, and it was alluding to, like, New York Times, like, the Gray Lady can't sit on the UFO issue for too much longer, or the powers that be will, it has some elaborate name or whatever, and was like, will force her hand in July. And it was
is that your Grant Cameron impression?
That's just kind of my
because,
like,
that was pretty solid.
Oh, nice. Now it's more just kind of like my ridiculous, like, disclosure, my cryptic disclosure guy. You know, sort of
like the memo
they
all
read. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Bassett.
So talk. Yeah.
So what's going on now is that, it's so complicated to be able to, like, condense this down to something understandable. It's gonna be difficult, so I'll do my best. But
yeah, we already got a princess from
exactly. She's a princess who came from a pod in Pakistan who is actually married to Ron Gandolfi. The story is actually weirder and deeper, but that would take hours.
So are they saying there's going to be disclosure or not? That's all everyone wants.
They are saying there is. So here's how this disclosure is unique. Aaliyah Pandolfi, the princess, apparently has access to a portal.
Yes, a portal.
Portal to another dimension. And there are apparently multiple portals. She has something that they call an actuator, which is, I think, a piece of technology that can create portals.
Oh.
But
the gun on Rick and Morty.
Basically, in, you know, how do I get one? My God.
Yeah, I know.
But so disclosure is apparently going to come through portal technology. And supposedly, like, they were saying, like, Donald Trump is on board for the portal disclosure. And then they came back and said, Donald Trump is not on board for portal disclosure. So, you know, it's one of those things where they promise the world, and then it's like, just wait 60 more days, you know, like, time to launch. My God, that guy, he has got to be getting Benowitzed, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't looked deeply into it, although I've asked a lot of people about it. I would think that, like, he's being fed, like, misinformation or something doesn't sound right. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so what they haven't, they're only giving him just enough information? Like, what's going on? Like, why is it taking so long? You know?
You know, I kind of wonder, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, because this is something I would do if I was in the government, man. I think it would be so fun. You're like, oh, man, what band just annoys me? Blink-182, because I could agree with that. They're pretty horrible, in my opinion. he was like, what if, you know, Tom DeLonge, guys, really into UFOs. What if we got him out of his band through, like, UFOs?
Oh, like,
promised him
up
the world. We broke up. If this was a ploy to get him to leave Blink-182, my God, that is the greatest thing in the world.
That's brilliant.
But,
yeah.
Oh, so heavenly. But, the whole Tom DeLonge thing is like, look, I'm going to pay attention because I'm a sucker for the stuff. But, yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen with him. So he emailed, you know, John Podesta, big deal. Like,
I don't get
so what. Exactly. And obviously, you know, everyone knows he loves UFOs. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a million. And I've reached the point. I remember, like, specifically, like, once when something like this was going around, and I asked Nick Redfern, like, years and years and years ago, and he was like, this shit happens, like, every couple of years. And I finally sort of reached that point in my life where I'm just like, yeah, this shit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
This shit happens, like, every couple of years, and,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, it's, and Steve Bassett, I mean, like, what is he, he's the one I'm talking about when I feel like, he's going to look in the mirror one day and go, what have I done? What have I done? Like, you know, like, he's such a joker to me. Even, like, listening to that guy talk annoys me. Because I don't think he even gives a shit, to be honest. I think it's just, like, he likes being in charge of something. You know, he likes to feel like the martyr for, you know.
For the UFO
I find
calls?
To be,
yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I don't buy what he's selling at all. That's, you know.
I'd like to think he means well, but I'm tremendously disappointed that he blew the election. It's one of the one small part of the election results that I was unhappy about. But it's like he put all the eggs in the Hillary basket. And it was like, dude, I had him on the show over and over. I'm like, what about Trump, dude? He's like, eh, don't worry about it. And it was like, dude.
And we are stuck with him now.
Yeah. So I said to him, I'm like, we ignore him at our own peril, Steve. He's like, don't even worry about it. And I'm just like, that's exactly what I said. I'm like, we ignore him at our own peril, dude. You know? Keep writing him off as a joke. It's going to blow up.
Well, I admit, I you know, until like the very end, until like probably like a month before the election, I wrote it off as a joke too. I'm like, really? Come on. Come on. Like, no way.
Yeah, but, about a month before, I kind of mentally prepared myself you better be ready if this happens, you know.
Yeah.
And I told people around me, they didn't fucking listen. They were shocked. I'm like, I told you this could happen. Like, it wasn't, you know, they weren't going to, like, disqualify him somehow. Like, he had a shot. Like, he was ineligible. He was in contention. Like,
look,
Jesus.
I bet, I have a feeling Kid Rock is going to become a senator pretty soon. And who knows what he'll do next. So, look out for Kid Rock, you know.
Well, I already
2028.
Said on the show, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson will save us. So, he'll become president and everyone will unite. Everyone will like The Rock. So, Republican,
mm-hmm.
Democrat, everyone will be like, I like The Rock.
He's hard not to like. He's
have you ever met him?
Guy. I have never met The Rock. I'd love to, though.
I heard he's like, did you read that GQ article about him? Where they talked about him running for president, but they said...
No, I didn't.
He's got incredible, like, he's got like a weird, like, photographic memory or some shit, like, where he'll talk to you and ask you, like, a million questions as he's talking, like, to find out, he'll get into your whole life within, like, 5 minutes.
Wow.
And then he remembers
your
it
soul.
All. Like, yeah. He remembers it all, like, over the course of the day. So, like, you feel like he's your best friend, you know?
Good Lord.
Yeah. Must be.
Man, you've got to get The Rock in this show.
I should try.
You never
I
know.
I should try and get The Rock on the show.
You should, man. It'd be great.
I regret now because when Donald Trump first ran for president, he would appear on, like, any show. So it was like, I should have got Donald Trump on the show before when he first started running for president, and all he did all day was, like, interviews on any show that would have him.
Oh, that would be phenomenal.
To go back, just to ask him about this shit, I've been like, so you get elected president, are you going to release the truth about UFOs? You know, no one asked him about that shit. It's ridiculous.
No. Yeah, isn't that weird? Because, like, and that's why, you know, you have to think, a president is it, like, if, like, look, I'm not convinced the government knows like a ton about UFOs. I really don't, like, you know, hold on. I'm not positive about that. Like a lot of people are, but I mean, like if there is a presidential or if there ever was a presidential, like UFO debriefing, he would have said everything, man. Guy would have day one. He'd be like, guess what? There's aliens.
Yeah, or like, it's like the old JFK thing, because I suspect that he's probably got a mistress or some shit. It's like, he would have told, he just would have, even if he didn't tell the world, he would have told other people. Like, he would have told, like, a bunch of other people, like, in the White House and shit. He wouldn't have been able to keep, that's my theory, I mean, it's my opinion. It's
like, me too, yeah, I mean, what do I know? But, like, yeah, it just seems likely that he would be dropping some UFO knowledge.
Right. To like,
wouldn't that be hilarious if Donald Trump was like the disclosure president? Oh my God.
I said this on the show. I had a plan, but it's probably too late now. But my idea was like that if someone could get to, if Steve Bassett would have worked both sides and he got to Donald Trump, he could have just, I would have said to Donald Trump, I would have been like, dude, you'll be like the Abe Lincoln of, you know, you'll be on par with like Abe Lincoln. Like, this is like coin worthy, man. This is like money worthy. And that's all he wants. Yeah, he would have jumped on it immediately. Like, even everybody in the whole government was like, you cannot do this. He just would have been like, oh, you mean like they put me on Mount Rushmore? They would add you to Mount Rushmore, dude, if you like fucking, you know. He would do it. He would do it in a heartbeat. So
you know he would. You know he would. His ego is large.
Oh, man.
It is large. So,
do they know that you're like into all this stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man, for sure. I mean, like, you know, look, it's like I'm not walking around saying aliens are real, I more have, like, you know, an intellectual curiosity about all things that are weird, you know, like weird movies, weird music, you know, so UFOs and like the whole, you know, supernatural, paranormal stuff, that, I think that just goes hand in hand with that stuff, you know, like, and So yeah, they do. They definitely do know. And like, look, I live in Los Angeles. The idea of
that's true,
intelligence like floating around, people are like, yeah, I totally. This is like a new age heaven. So it's I'm not even considered a weirdo here for sure.
That makes sense.
Which is
yeah.
nice. That's a good thing about California is you can be as weird as you want and you're still not that weird. There's always someone weirder, right, you know, right down the street. So.
Yeah, well,
yeah, but
it's funny in a sense because it's almost like a distinction to be made where it's like people like you and me, it's like we don't necessarily like quote-unquote like, yo, you believe this stuff. It's more just like, no, but we think about it. Like most people just don't even think
about
it at all. They just don't ever – it's shocking because to us it's like UFOs are at least part of our – I wouldn't say our daily lives, but certainly part of our like – the fabric of
they
who
are.
We are. Yeah, I guess, yeah, it is. I mean,
they sure are. And you know
I
what
see
I
the word UFO
there?
Or think about UFOs probably every day. So, yeah, yeah. But to tell
you know,
people,
was,
it's like it's completely un, you know, it's like me and tennis or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like that's how foreign, but for a lot more people.
Yeah, man. No, I mean, I know what you mean. And to me, it's just, you know, even like if every story, every case I've read is like proven for me as a total hoax and total bullshit. Well, my God, I enjoyed the stories. Like, a lot of times, I'll read a Jacques Vallée book, you know, like Passport to Magonia, which is, like, full of these great, super high weird or high strange stories, which that's the stuff I really love. The weirder, the better. I just love it, you know?
Right.
So, but the stories to me are so enriching, and there's just, like, I don't know. There's so much myth, and it's just like the, you know, they're the same stories really as people have been telling for years and years and years, and they're just done in such a weird, you know, angular way that it excites me. You know, like that's why I love Jacques Blais. Also, is such a good, like, descriptive prose writer that he's got like such a gift for like the English language, even though it's a second language. But I find him to be such an amazing writer, you know, not only for the subject that he's working in, but just like, man, I've reread Messengers of Deception. I just reread it again like a year ago, and man, that is such a good book.
Yeah, I remember.
Such a good book.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day because I heard he's like making the rounds on shows and stuff, and I was like,
yeah,
that was one of the most life changing sort of interviews I did on the show ever. Like it was sort of like,
yeah,
you know,
I probably listened to that. Yeah, I've listened to that show a bunch, that one you did with him. You did a great interview with him. And like, I feel like you nailed it. I feel like you took advantage of having Jacques Vallée on as opposed to like some shows where they're just like so close encounters. You know,
right,
like, I'm
right.
Like, no, please. Like, here's a guy who's like, I think about like Jacques Vallée kind of how I think about David Lynch to me. You know, he's like, you know, like, they're in a field where a lot of people are doing the same thing and trying to make money and doing all the stuff. But Jacques Vallée to me is like an artist. He doesn't like really care. He's not relying on the UFO world to make money. The guy is like a venture capitalist.
Right, right. He made a ton on the internet.
So he's not tainted to me. You know, like I don't know. I feel like he's such a great resource to have around right now. And we should all be lucky. If you're into this topic, I feel like we should be lucky to have him be alive when he's still, like, you know, pretty vibrant in this world. It's exciting to me. I mean, I feel like, you know, you and kind of Greg and a lot of the people you guys have in your show, you know the guys I'm talking about. There's like a UFO clique you guys have, kind of the Paramania group, and you're kind of the punk rock sect of the esoteric world.
Yeah,
and
like
that's
the kind
of the,
yeah, of UFO. Of
you
UFO,
are.
Mostly.
You are, and like I'm happy I found you guys when I did because I was pretty much done. I had like, you know, like read you about UFO stuff on, you know, all the forums, and I'm like, it's the same old stories, Roswell, Area 51. I mean, I don't care. And all the government tie-in stuff has never been that interesting to me anyways. Like, I'm not that into conspiracy theories and stuff. Like, I feel like they're just kind of nasty and like, kind of have a weird vibe to me, you know? Like,
yeah,
I
crossed that path in a sense with the conspiracies because to me it was like I got into it a lot like after 9/11 and shit, and that was
right
about when I got into all this, so it was kind of like a dual.
Right.
But to me it was like after watching all this, and now it, you know, ironically it's the anniversary yesterday, it was like, what, 16 years? It's like, to me, it's like if the if there really is this, like, grand conspiracy, dude, like, they won, man. Like, we can't we can't overthrow, like, the New World Order, dude. Like,
no.
Our best bet
is
just
things
to devolve into chaos or something.
That's the thing. I feel like for a while, I mean, like what do I know? And I am not like a New World Order conspiracy theorist scholar by any means. I don't even really care about that stuff that much. But after Trump winning, isn't that kind of like proof that there is no Illuminati or no New World Order? Because he is the most he is the furthest thing from company man.
Right. Right. Yeah,
so,
everyone's
like, they control. You know, for years I've been hearing, like, going above Top Secret or one of those kind of, like, you know, venomous forums,
yeah.
And they're like, they control the world. They've been picking presidents since 1860. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's what you say. And then now I'm like, well, your whole theory is gone to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Well, I talked about that with Ken Thomas. The only theory is sort of like that, that they're purposely dividing up the country, you know. To split up, you know, they're just sowing chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. Like, either one of them won, it would be fucking chaos. Like, you know, they'd be trying to impeach Hillary Clinton immediately.
At some point, and I really like, actually, I think Ken Thomas is, like, I've just heard him on the shows. I've never read any of his work, but I've heard him on Greg's show and your show, and I really like him.
He's very sharp and very smart.
He's very sharp, but he's also not into, like, the... There's, like, conspiracy theories, and then there's, like, these dark conspiracy theories that are kind of, like, racial and, like, extreme right-wing. And that I'm really turned off by that stuff, you know? Like, I don't want – those people are just, like, kind of, like, nasty people to me.
Just like the Alex
Jones,
like, sect, you mean?
Yeah, I think I – sure, yeah. I mean,
you know what it is? I think what you're, in a sense, the hook on that is, like – the litmus test is like the fucking Sandy Hook, you know, like the people who kind of once people start getting on board with this idea that, like, all these things are fake, that's like when I drop out, because to me it's like all this shit isn't fake.
That's my biggest gripe. It's like nothing can be what it is. It's like there has to be some kind of, like, dark motive or, you know, hidden agenda, like all this, like, stuff about crisis actors and stuff like that. I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
And I feel like at a certain point, it's actually very harmful to put out there into the world. So, like, I mean, like, you know, an Alex Jones fan would say the same thing about me, you know, you're blind, you're a sheep, you know, and, like, maybe I am, bud.
Right.
I am. But, you know, like, at the same time, that cannot be a great way to live life when you are skeptical and, like, think everything is a conspiracy.
Yeah,
that must be miserable.
Yeah. So, like, when they
really
on the news, it's like, oh, how are they lying to us today? It's like, Jesus Christ, that's no way to live.
I bet if you did I bet if you, like, did some kind of survey, you'd find out that 86% of those people suffer from pretty severe depression.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly they're bummed
out.
They're bummed.
They're
They're unhappy. They're definitely unhappy.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way, I think. Because, like,
I think
the world is like this horrible place that, you know, you're constantly being fucking lied to by every...
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, and that's really what they say. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people don't want to take responsibility for themselves and like to blame the government and other things about why their life isn't going their way, and they don't have the house and the picket fence and the two cars and... the girlfriend and, you know, this and that.
Right,
and
right.
Like, you know, it's like
someone's
fucking
them over. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, God, it's not – people are not always fucking you over. And if you are, then you're putting yourself in a weird position, man. One that I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know. It's weird. It's like – I noticed that too. It's like these people who are unhappy. It's like, why? Stop being unhappy and turn it around.
I'm just sad for them. I really am. I get sad for those people, you know, like – there was a time when, like, a site like Above Top Secret, I shouldn't say I don't go on there very much anymore, but they used to have great, like, UFO forums.
Right.
And I really, like, learned a lot. I thought there were some really cool discussions there, but after a while it started to get so, like, filled with, like, conspiratorial hate, and I was just like, man, yikes. This is, like, stressing me out. I can't do this anymore. But it's all fun. It's still when I'm
oh no, yeah,
it,
yeah,
like,
yeah. This
and put
like...
it down. But it's It's all fun. It's all, you know, like, you have to take it with a grain of entertainment salt, I think, you know?
Absolutely. I highly endorse the entertainment aspect of this. I've kind of, like, mm-hmm. ripped on people who are, like, take it too seriously, where it's like, Jesus Christ. You
yeah.
know, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I say it's like professional wrestling, dude. You know, it's like,
oh my God.
Like pro wrestling.
You nailed it. I think you nailed it. I couldn't
you know,
agree more.
It's like, what is real?
There's
what isn't real?
Yeah,
you never really know what's yeah. You never really know what's real and shit. And like, you know, the biggest moments ever in wrestling history were like the three or four times it turned real. And that's kind of like that's kind of
yeah.
like how it is with the paranormal, where it's like the biggest
right.
moments are the times that we are pretty sure it was real. We don't know what you know what I'm saying. So
yeah, man, I'm with you. Like, you know, it would be great. Like, I'm the thing I've been like, look, I want to figure out a way to make. Obviously, who doesn't? But like, I am dying to figure out a way to make some kind of paranormal thing or some kind of, you know.
Well, that's what I wanted to
happen.
Ask you. Did you? Because I was looking up, you know, different stuff that you did. Were you
yeah.
in a movie called Skinwalker Ranch?
I was.
That's so weird.
Was,
like just from
yeah.
the paranormal element. Like, did you?
Yeah. Well,
was that
they're,
intentional
they're,
or like somehow connected
well,
to your interest, or was it just complete accident?
I won't go into it too much because it didn't. The movie did not turn out very well at all.
Okay.
And the whole experience was a little, you know, I was, you know, it just like, you know, it was a kind of a classic Hollywood type, you know. At the end of the day, we're not going to make the movie you want to make. So,
right.
I actually wrote the story with a friend of mine.
Oh wow!
To the movie, in that it was a much different story. I actually wanted it to be a very not special effects, more psychological thriller that was like a doc, you know, a fake documentary, but shot in like a very like serious way, you know, like not like, and then, but long story short, what ended up happening is the financiers wanted to make it more of a found footage movie. And
okay. yeah.
I didn't really get my way and it just turned to something I didn't want it to be and missed opportunity, but you know, I learned a lesson, but yeah, no. So, I mean like, honestly,
okay, so I just didn't, yeah, because I saw that. Like, so you
I'm,
are
I'm
sort
skinwalker.
Of, you are, you know, you are trying to, like, do, get the paranormal out.
Dude, I have pitched, you know, probably 10 different shows that have different, like, different versions of something with the paranormal, mostly having to do with, like, ufology and stuff.
You and me need
and
to sit
it,
down sometime after the show, after, even maybe even
yeah.
after the season. And we'll just, I'll just like write down like 10 ideas. And so
yeah,
next
well,
time
the,
you could be like, how about this? How about that? Like crazy
yeah,
fucking,
the,
you know.
Well, the sad thing is what I have found out, because I don't really get the opportunity to pitch hour longs. I mostly like am able to, just because I do comedy stuff, they just want really half hour shows for me.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what they do not want.
Oh, no, these would be huge. Okay, yeah.
They don't want these shows, and I have found that out. And I'm at a point with, like, my representation, like, my manager and agent. They're like, please, do not bring us another one of these ideas, because no one wants it. And they're right. They don't.
No, I can imagine.
At least they don't
I'll
want
still
to
give you the idea.
I would want
you,
this.
When, then you call
hey,
me, like,
I'll
in 3 years.
You'll
be like, they wanted that sitcom idea, though. Because I don't want to do anything, like... Like anything
no.
that's ever been seen by on the you know in the paranormal before
yeah.
on TV, like because I need to find something that I would watch. So it's like
yeah,
like People
that's,
Have Heard is a great show.
Yeah, and that is good. It's you know, and actually by the guy who plays Jerry, Luca Jones, is one of my best buddies.
Is that the guy that looks like you?
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I see the show, I think they should get you on as like his doppelganger or some shit.
Yeah, he's one of my great friends. And the funny thing is, he could not be less interested in this stuff. He thinks it is just complete bullshit.
He looks like he's playing you, dude. Every time I see him.
Yeah, we have a similar. Him and I like, go hiking together a lot. A lot of people are like, Jesus, are they the same person? But it's funny because we have these long discussions about this stuff. Me trying to like not convince him. I'd never try to convince him, but just to try to like point out there's some validity to what I'm, you know, and all this stuff. And he's just like, no.
Yeah.
He's a real smart dude. He has like a doctorate in philosophy, so he's very hard to debate. But you know,
I can see why. Like, with all due respect to the folks who do have paranormal shows, they're on like all these low
right.
rent like
yeah
infotainment channels now. They're like
yes,
You know, yeah. What are they like? This History Channel, Discovery, not
oh,
you know,
yeah.
all those like what's the like this one that's like all paranormal
there's,
all the time. I forget ID
yeah,
something, not ID,
it.
ID
yeah,
the murder one, but yeah.
I think yeah, it's something like that. But yeah, I mean, there is it's weird because it seems like UFOs and paranormal, even though to guys like us, they feel like it's all kind of gone underground. It's actually bigger than ever on TV. You know, I still think Ancient Aliens. I mean, God, they're still doing new episodes of that. And
oh yeah, for
obviously
sure.
They are getting the viewers. So there is a thirst for this stuff.
Right.
But it's
sure.
not. It's not the beverage that you and I would prefer to drink. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
I you know that's. I remember when you and Paul Kimball years ago were trying to get a documentary off the ground, I think almost a sequel to his top 10 UFO movie, which I really love. I thought that
yeah,
was
nobody
knew
fault. Nobody, like, would, it was like a GoFundMe. And it was more like a no-fund-me. No one put any money
in. I'll tell you what. If my ship ever comes in, I'm going to finance that. Cause that I, just for the simple fact that I want to watch it. I think that would...
Yeah.
I was so excited about that. I was like, oh my, this could be the first really great UFO documentary. I mean, there's some good ones out there, but they all have like big flaws in them to me. I would feel like they lose the narrative at some point and they start tangentializing into places that don't really pertain to the what's going on.
Yeah.
But man, that idea of, now, if you don't mind, the premise was like you guys were going to look into the non-ETH. Is that the long and short of it?
No, he did the 10 best UFO. You've seen the first movie, right? That's actually
yeah,
excellent.
Of course.
That's excellent. So,
yeah. Oh, it's great. No, I really
it was supposed
it.
To
yeah.
be like, okay, we've established that there's something to this. What now? What could it be? And explore like the different possibilities.
Right. See,
so,
I mean, you
yeah.
should try to. I mean, I don't know. It's like it's such a good idea. I feel like people would like it if they just. You can convince them to watch it.
Watch it, yeah.
You know?
I was just
going
to say they
exactly.
watch it. Well, it's funny because did you see the Stephen Greer movie?
I did.
Oh, you
I
did?
Watched
see,
it.
I didn't
like,
watch it.
I did. It was on Netflix, or it was on Amazon. It's
on Netflix
I did not
now,
pay
yeah.
for it. Yeah, it was on Netflix. That's what it was. And, you know, like, look, I mean, like, I have to admit, I was sort of entertained. There were some, like, good moments, and obviously, like, there's good pieces of, I don't know what I would call it information, or just good pieces of...
Good nuggets
of information or entertainment that I found valuable, but like
yeah, well, it's like shit, give or take,
you
know. It's like shit, you
yeah.
take my
yeah.
word for it, kind of shit. Where it's like, all right, I guess Marilyn
oh, yeah.
Monroe was murdered because of UFOs.
I mean, that is such that, but it almost I don't know what he was. I mean, I guess obviously it was you know kind of to get some shock value in there to get more viewers.
I didn't see
but
the movie,
what,
so I don't know. Like,
it was, yeah, we shouldn't spend time discussing a Stephen Greer movie, but like he, it's such a it was such a weird left turn and such a leap for me, I guess. That
yeah.
I was like, oh boy, here he goes again.
Yeah, I didn't. It's funny because I'm almost not watching it because I have this thing where and to update people because they'll appreciate this, and I don't think he'll mind me saying his name. When I was up at Exeter. I was outside having a cigarette with, and Peter Robbins was out there, and I was talking
nice.
To him, and this guy came out who was part of the, you know, was a attendee at the conference, and we were all talking, and this, folks, was the very thing I was talking about, because the guy, who's a UFO fan or whatever, you know, he's a consumer, we were talking, you know, about stuff. And he asked us if we'd seen the Stephen Greer movie. Peter, who, like me, is in the UFO bubble, he had heard of it but just completely dismissed it. So it's like there's something to that where, like,
yeah.
the average people are watching this movie, folks, and I'm almost not watching it now because that's become my bailiwick about how about
yeah,
people in the bubble aren't. But it's like there's clearly something to this idea that, like, the people who are quote unquote serious about this are as out of the loop as you know as we could imagine in a sense. You know, myself included.
I mean,
I haven't seen the movie. I,
yeah.
You know.
But you know, you're. I mean, you're not wrong. Like, I feel like I have been one of the weird things. You know, and I'm sure you have experienced this too. I think anyone who's into this topic and that people know that you are into this topic, every once in a while, will be like, oh yeah, you know, like. Roswell's aliens, huh? And I'm like, sure, if you say so, but I am not interested in that kind of stuff. So it's like, I used to find myself justifying myself more. Like, if I was at a bar drinking some buddies and someone brings up UFOs, like, oh, Steve believes in aliens. And I'm like, well, it's more nuanced than that, friend. You know, and then I would spend 20 minutes explaining to them what I was interested in. And then I'm like, why am I even doing that? So now people are like, he likes aliens. I'm like, yep, I'm the alien guy. Like, I don't even try anymore, man. I don't know. I'm sure you've ran into that a lot in your life.
Yeah. People, it's like, I hate talking about this stuff unless I'm doing a show. So it's very like, weird.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, I think you and I talked a fair amount about it in L.A., but that was kind of,
yeah.
It was sort of a paranormal gathering, so it was like things come up.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like I actually love, I almost love talking about this stuff more than I love talking about anything else, but there's not that many people I can talk about it with. Do you know what I mean? Like, not saying that I'm a UFO scholar or
know anything, but you follow what's going on.
I mean, yeah, I know about like a certain sect of it. Like I obviously like a big fan of Jacques Vallée, and I've read some, you know, a lot of the Keel books, and you know, that kind of world I find just absolutely fascinating, and I can talk about it for hours over a couple beers, but not that many people I feel like are, and this sounds so elitist, but are savvy enough to talk about it the way I want to talk about it. Like, I'm very specific. Like, I feel like you and I could sit around and talk about this stuff for 20 hours and probably could go on for another 20. Or like Greg Bishop, you know. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
Like, the dudes at the Paramania thing, it's like, man, I mean, like, I even felt bad because I feel like I wanted to talk about this stuff more than you because I'm sort of an outsider. I don't, like, you know, I'm not in this world. I'm just kind of like, I hover around it and I have some buddies in it.
Well, it's crazy.
So for
me, I was
so starstruck to meet all you guys.
it was just scary. Yeah. Well,
so
it's funny because, like, you know, yeah. Well, you were saying you were filming something today with, I think, Rob Riggle, and I was like, to me, I'm like, holy shit, Rob Riggle, wow, that's awesome. And if it was like, you know, if I message you and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have Grant Cameron on in a couple of weeks or whatever. I'm not, relax. But you'd be like, what? Yeah, so it's weird.
I would do anything to talk to Grant Cameron for 2 hours. I would love that so much. Like, love it so much. Yeah, see, like, for me,
I should,
like,
maybe later on, like, toward the end of the season, we'll get you on as a guest co-host, and you can interview Grant about all this shit.
Well, I tell you, I know...
Yeah, you know that shit backwards and forwards, so you'd be able to...
I mean,
like,
I can't say I'm proud of it. I mean, the amount of time I've sunk into reading... I mean, if you added up all the hours I've been reading Dan Smith's quite possibly crazy blog. I mean, it's like a fantasy novel,
it sounds like.
It's a fantasy novel, but it's unfolding
in real time kind of thing.
Yeah, and I can't tell if it's incoherent or absolute, like, William S. Burroughs-style genius with, like, hidden text and, like,
yeah,
like, cutout thinking. I mean, like, I'm telling you, it's... So I would ask any of you guys to give it a shot. I mean, you would go to his blog and read it and go, I have no idea what any of this means. But if you keep on reading, you'll start to pick up on some of the acronyms and the shorthand. And it's wild, man. It's wild. And there's pretty much 7 people who have been posting on it for, like, 10 years. And that's the sad thing.
And they have no idea that you're, like, one
of their biggest longest readers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even on the go-to meetings, because you can, like, ask questions. And these things are, like, 2 hours long. I end up asking, like, 75% of the questions.
Oh,
annoying.
My God. Wait, are the go-to meetings
annoying
with the princess?
Yeah, I'm on every – I haven't missed one.
Jesus,
and there's, like,
dude.
there's all these big UFO people, mostly kind of the crazy people, I think. I mean, and not Grant – I like Grant Cameron. I think he's eccentric, but I like him.
I like him, too. I don't know what he's mixed up in all this shit for.
Well, I'm glad he is.
No, I am, too.
I'm glad he's mixed up in the Dan Smith stuff because he's going to help it unfold for me. He's actually just throwing gas in the fire, and so for me – this is such a subject of the UFO.
Oh, yeah, this is like an unfolding drama. Yeah, this is
It's about as deep of a cut as you can get, you know?
Yeah, no, and, for sure.
And that Grant is sort of bringing it out into at least his fold, to me, I'm just so excited about it. So whether it bears any kind of fruit, probably not, but, man, I'm enjoying the ride.
Well, I'll be interested to see how it pans out. I have my doubts, but I've lost, like I said, I lost track of it over the summer, and now it's like something needs to happen. Something.
Yeah. Really, I mean, it would be great. It'd be great. Hey, something I wanted to mention to you,
mm-hmm.
Ask you. Have you ever considered, like trying to do this as a radio show?
I know it's on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, the terrestrial radio. Like, basically what I'm saying is, when are you going to take over, I can't even say that. Maybe, I would love, you should have a show, there's another show that's big and mainstream, and I'm not going to say the name of it. I wish you were the host of that show.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. I'm not
Is that okay for me to say? I don't want to get in trouble.
Sure.
Okay.
You said if you just quickly said it, probably less people would have noticed or paid attention than the the elaborate.
I brought up a lot of attention.
The fucking Voynich manuscript that you just laid out for people to decode. Oh my God.
Nice Voynich.
Thank you.
By the way, didn't they just decode that and it was a guide for feminine hygiene?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's so funny. That is so funny.
It is. Although, you know, they disagree. I kind of hope it isn't, because I was hoping that it was more elaborate. But in my mind, I think in my heart, I know that it is. Like, I know that probably is what it is.
I mean, look, of course, I wish it was some kind of, like, ancient wisdom about Vimanas or interdimensional, you know, intelligence.
Right.
I wanted it to be the weirdest thing possible. On the other hand, that it's feminine hygiene tips, that's pretty funny.
And you know what? I mean, I don't know if this is true, and I'm like, this is the kind of thing you get in trouble for, but I'm going to apologize if this is somehow sexist, folks. I don't know. Everything's so creepy now. But I guess the point I was going to make is, like, would it make sense that, like, because I'm thinking it would, that they would, like, because of how fucking weird sexual taboos are, that they would, like, have to code the book somehow. You know what I mean? Like, it was only handed down to, I don't know, women who, you know, old grandmas who could pass on the knowledge to other ladies. You know, maybe it's that kind of thing. I have no idea. But, like, that seems, if you look at it in that way, it's like, I can kind of see how that would be what it is.
Yeah, well, that's actually an interesting take on it. I didn't really think deeper on it. Once I just kind of, like, read the headline, read a couple sentences, and had a good laugh, and moved on. That's interesting, because who would spend so much time coding something so mundane?
Maybe you weren't supposed to, like, maybe like it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't to be talked about in polite company was the idea. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. No. But now I'm kind of like reinterested in it. This might be like a total misdirect, or maybe coded within the feminine hygiene stuff. See?
Where do you get a load
nothing
of this
is it?
where do you get a load of this segue? Because that reminds me now of, I went down like one of those Wikipedia rabbit holes the other night, and
those are fun.
Yeah, and actually from Robert Schneck's book, because he was writing about the Bye Bye Man, and he said part of the thing was that the dude like traveled on the rails, and he was like, he said that there's a group, there's like a, essentially folks, there's like a gang, there's a Hell's Angels of the freight train hopping world. I forget their name. Yeah. So I got like way into that. Oh, and so then I got deep into it, like 2 hours of fucking like following every link I could to find out more about this gang. And I got into like real stories from people who are currently like, or were freight train hoppers to find out like what that life is like. Yeah. Yeah. And I found out, taking this back to the Voynich manuscript, that there's like a secret called the Game Change, the Crew Change Guide. Yeah, the CCG, called the Crew Change Guide, that's like handed, that is like how I described the Voynich manuscript just then. It's handed out to up-and-coming train hoppers who've proven their worth in the underground train hopping world, and it like has secrets and tips on how to, all the different train spots in the country. And you can't, it's like fucking vehemently, you can't get it online. You're not like, if you post it online, they'll fucking kill you. Like it's not, you know.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is still going on in like now, like in 2017.
Yeah, now. Like the dude was like, because someone's like, my buddy was into this shit, and he said there was a thing called a secret manual that, you know, was patented. The guy's like, yeah, that's the crew change guide. He's like, you can talk about it, but you can't post it online. You know, if people post it online, everybody flips out, like, makes you take it down.
Imagine getting somebody on the show who knew, who was like an expert in that stuff. I mean, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as crazy as it sounds, because, like, I'm one of those people who dreams from their armchair, but I was like, I'd like to someday earn my hands on a copy of the crew change guide. Like, I want to earn the underground manual of the train hoppers.
I want you to earn it too. And
I know.
Like,
really cool.
I mean, it'd be so cool. I'm definitely not going to join you on the train hopping thing, but I will celebrate you and be the biggest champion. I'll send you supplies for the road. Like, the stuff.
There you go. No, it sounds hard.
And like milk duds.
It sounds.
Yeah,
hard.
I'm sure it's a. It sounds romantic, but I'm sure it's pretty grim out there.
Oh,
on
God,
the train railroad.
Yeah. Well, this, yeah.
Tim, I gotta ask you something. I'm nervous to ask you, but I have to use the restroom.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
It'll just take me. It'll take me like 15 seconds.
Dude, don't worry about it.
I'll be right back, brother.
Fire away. Wow. All right. I hope folks are enjoying the show so far. Steve's he's used to the world of Hollywood where there's commercial breaks and stuff like that. We don't have commercial breaks on Banal America. So now I have to talk. So what's going on with the show? I think we're going to have a couple more first-time guests after Steve. We did UFOs. Last week we did weird stories. Tonight we're doing pop culture. So, I mean, what's left? Maybe a ghost episode with a new first-time guest ghost. Maybe one more UFO show or a Bigfoot one or something like that. And then hopefully that'll round out September, and then October we can get back to bringing some of the first time or second time, their first return, if you will. Folks who were on originally.
Yo, buddy.
Thank you. I am feeling refreshed. All right.
I had a large iced tea on my way home, so.
Large IT, yeah, Voynich manuscript.
Yeah, man.
Where did we get off? So tell me a little bit about, since, you know, it's funny, I mentioned all this stuff you're on. So you did you do, because we didn't talk about any of it, really.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
are like, he's
no,
not
fine.
From Hollywood, that's your neighbor. Oh, I just thought of this. I need your encouragement. I should do, because I'm doing first-time guests here this month.
Right.
I wanted to, my neighbor, turns out she's like 90, and
oh
she was a child in Nazi Germany and made it out of out of Germany after like the war. So she lived through the war in Nazi Germany. And I'm like, I should interview Yvonne.
You should. You should probably like do it on her terms and like go over there and just like.
Put the recorder
record
down and talk to her. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, doing it live with a 90-year-old
thing. Yeah, with the music. Just the music alone would be like. She'd be like, what kind of show is this? Yeah, but no, I was like, I saw her at, like, a picnic or something, and, like, it somehow came up, and I'm like, A, how did I not know this before? And B, like, can we talk? Can we?
Yeah.
I kind of, like, poked a little bit with questions, just, and she was very open, so it was like, okay, clearly she wants to talk about this. Like, she'll, you know. Because I was just like, what was that like? And then she kind of did, like, a little five-minute, you know, thing where I was like, okay, clearly, like, she's,
man,
you know, she's not,
I
like,
think that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be such a valuable interview, I think.
Yeah. So, see that? I thought of that while you were in the bathroom, so.
Boom, that's an idea. Put it on the dream board, baby.
Exactly. So you did connecting the paranormal to your work. Now you did the Drunk History Roswell thing,
uh-huh.
right?
I okay. did, yeah. Yeah. And that was something I pitched to them.
Yeah.
Because Derek, who, you know, it's Derek Waters, it's his show, and you know, he's the star of it, whatever, it's his show. And he is an old friend of mine. We used to do a lot of sketch comedy together and just, you know, we're good buddies and work together whenever we can. And so I do a lot of those, and so he's always like, hey, man, if you want to pitch a story and it, you know, somehow fits in with the theme we're doing for that week, and it works, great, you can do that. And Roswell just happened to do that because they wanted to do this, like a New Mexico sort of a theme for, like, an episode.
Yeah.
And so I was like, perfect, you know, like, and Roswell, like, you can't, you know, I feel like you can't, there's not a bunch of like UFO stories you can really do. I mean, I look, between you and me, I don't love the Roswell story. I don't think there's anything to be gleaned off it. I don't think we'll ever learn any what really happened there. It's just not that interesting to me at this point. But it seemed like, you know, when I said Roswell, like, everyone knows about Roswell. So, boom, perfect. But, yeah, that was fun. You know, like, I feel like, ooh, I kind of got to get a little UFO thing in there. And, you know, the answer I gave was the Project Mogul answer, which I think is probably the most likely. I mean, yeah. What do I know? I'm not, you know, Kevin Randall. But, look at me dropping.
Joke. Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. It's for your people. It's for your people. But, yeah, I mean, like, it just doesn't seem that anything, you know, high strange is going on there to me. But, yeah, I think a lot of people – I ran to a couple people where it was at a – I went to a UPARS talk. Do you know what UPARS is?
No, it's like UPARS.
UPARS, it used to be the Los Angeles MUFON, like, chapter. But
really?
Then they got – but they got in, like, a tiff with MUFON.
No,
and
you
said,
don't
say. Yeah, and they said, screw you guys, we're doing our own thing. And they called it UPARS. I don't know what it stands for, but every once in a while – if, like, Nick Redfern's there or, like, I've seen Chris O'Brien speak and, like, someone that is, you know, really interesting to me, I'll go check it out. But I went to go see, God, who, I can't remember. I think I saw David Paulides speak, which is actually very interesting.
Nice.
It was really cool.
It
was really cool. And, but two people came up to me, these two girls, and they're like, hey, we saw you in Drunk History. I'm like, oh, cool. You know? And, like, they were like, why did you say it was that? You know, it's not that. Did they tell you to say it was that? And they were like, I'm like, I don't, like, you know, I was like, I'm not going to, like, get into this argument with you guys.
Yeah, see, it's worse. It's like doubly worse because you're like a Judas, you know?
Yeah.
When you first said that, I'm like, I could see how they'd be pissy. Then it's like, you know it's not. It's like, oh, Jesus, dude. Don't betray.
Like, all right.
You don't want to betray the UFO buffs. That's when that's when the knives really come out.
I guess. But that's also an interesting thing. It's just like, it's honestly like you're telling somebody who is like,
it's like a
super
religious
Christian.
Yeah.
It is. It's like you're saying, like, your God sucks, you know, and, like, that's when I check out. I'm like, oh, you guys are sad people. I just feel sorry for them. Like, that you can be so defensive over something that you really don't have the facts on. It's,
yeah, no one does. Yeah. So it's not like,
yeah.
Right, it's not like we're saying we do. It's like, yeah, anyone who's like, quote unquote, like, come to a conclusion about this, I'm always just like, all right, I really can't
yep.
take them there, except for my friend Bruce Rucks, because, like, I'll never quite really get it, but he came to a conclusion and then just dropped the fuck out of this, and
yep.
It's like, I can respect that. It's like, mm-hmm. he thinks he's figured it out. You know, I think I've explored most of it with him, but I still don't quite, like, really get it, because he just sort of has a very, you know, he has a certainty,
you know what,
about
though?
Him, and I respect that.
I actually, and you know what? You want to hear this is a compliment to you. I love how you have, like, that Thanksgiving tradition with him.
Oh, thanks, man.
And on every Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I make my great-great-great-grandmother's stuffing, and I always listen to that.
Wow, man.
That's
thank
my
you.
Little Thanksgiving. Yeah, dude, that's my little Thanksgiving tradition. So I have a fondness for Bruce Rucks. I've never read a book for him. I've only heard him just through your interviews. But
I've never met him. I think he's just – I think he's awesome. I really – there's something about him. I think he's just a really cool dude. So
how did you find him?
That's one of the great Banal of America stories. I'm glad you brought it up, actually.
Please tell me.
One of the listeners asked if I would interview Bruce Rucks. This is like – 10, you know, I think the show's been going on for like 13 years, so maybe, you know, almost 10 years ago. And it was like,
right.
I couldn't find, he has no digital footprint. He's not on Twitter,
right.
Facebook, anything, anywhere. You know, his book came out like at the turn of the century or something, or like right out, you know, 10 years ago at least. It was like, he's just nowhere to be found. And eventually, after like 2 years, I found him. And the book is like 500 pages, and I read it, Hollywood
really?
Versus the Aliens, and I was like, this is insane. And we did, since it was such a personally epic quest for me to find this dude, and and that was the thing, since he had dropped out, he hadn't done an interview in like 10 years. So it was like, oh, shit, this is like, no one's going to get Bruce Rucks, because
right.
No one can fucking find him, but I found him.
Now, let me ask
and
you
he was,
a
and he was
side
as
question.
Cool and friendly in the very first, like, 5 minutes I talked to him as he was, as he's been all these years. So it wasn't like, you know, he was just,
right.
just hit it off like, he was like, oh, hey, thanks for calling, you know? And it was like, yeah, dude, I've been walking through the desert for 2 years, like, searching for you, man. And he was
yeah.
like, you know, and it was like, oh, come on in. We'll talk about UFOs.
What a great story.
Thank you, brother.
So now, like, was he, like, at one point, like, you said, like, he dropped out for 10 years. Now, was he one point, like, a player? Was he, like, on Coast to Coast and, like?
I think he was
on Coast to Coast,
like, once, but he was, like.
Okay.
He was, do you know who William Bramley is?
I know the name. I can't place his.
William
Bramley
wrote,
situation.
Like, a book that traces. It's a lot like a Jim Mars book, and I mean that with
right.
the highest of compliments. It's like it traces like
right.
all of fucking human history to like the present day being like the mid-90s or maybe the just turn of the century, and like telling the story about how like UFO researchers think that that all of the religions were created by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And it like spells out sort of like all it like takes you through history and then go and then you know and a parallel narrative like how this might have been an alien. And
right.
it's like this is way, you know, it's far more entertaining if you're a history buff. It's like amazingly entertaining compared to like a Zachariah Sitchin. You know, that's maybe like the first chapter is like the Sitchin stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then
right.
like,
right.
goes through, like, oh, the Roman gods. How is this, you know, and all, you know, Christianity. You know, that's, like, two or three chapters
cool.
or whatever. Yeah, it's excellent, excellent. That's Gods of Eden. And anyone I know is, like, who's been around forever because he did the same thing. Like, he wrote the book and then just ditched. They just bailed on the scene. And essentially, he's another guy I've been – I briefly tracked him down but couldn't get him to do an interview. And I should probably try again since it's the last
you know,
season, but – yeah, so that's Bruce's deal. Like, he wrote a couple books, feels like he figured it all out, and then pretty much was like, I don't really see the point in being a part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and the guy, I mean, I can – he probably – he maybe made the right decision, you know? Like, you know what? Kind of something interesting that you and I have in common, I think. The Bruce Rux, like, the journey to find him was probably so fun for you. You know, like – I too am very interested in some of these kind of like at least influential thinkers in the UFO field who or people who actually made a little mark and then they left.
Yeah, I
you
am
know,
too.
Like,
I find them fascinating.
Who is the guy? Oh, Greg Bishop talks about him on his show. Grimstad. He wrote the. Oh God! It's like this book that's like $500 on Amazon. It's Rebirth of Pan.
Yeah. Jim.
Yeah. Well, I think he like wrote like Mysteries of America or something. I'm getting the title wrong. And then Rebirth of Pan, and then just kind of like later took off.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is, you know, I think he like dropped a couple bombs. It's like peace, I'm out. You know. And then another guy I'm so fascinated by is, do you know Armin Viktorian is?
Sounds familiar.
He was like this orc, like he had like he went by like five different names. He lived like in London, I think, but he was like an orchid smuggler who got into the UFO scene and ended up getting like all these like kind of like aviary people on the phone for interviews. And you can find these interviews like on
yeah,
the telephone.
Somebody was telling me about him the other day. I think Greg was telling me a story about it. Yeah, I think he called Greg at one point. Yeah, man.
And he got John Alexander on the phone, Ron Pandolfi. I can't remember, but some like kind of like hard to score, you know, military CIA type of people like on the phone talking about this stuff. And it's really nuts.
Yeah.
And I think he just disappeared. Like no one knows what happened to him.
Well,
he just vanished.
On that line, my white whale in that sense is like Jamie Chandra. I find him to be fascinating. He was like right in the thick of some of the biggest like moments of the 80s in this and mythos.
I am IMDb. I mean, like, because you know he always claims to be Hollywood producer Jamie Chandra. I looked him up on IMDb so many times, and it was like UFOs Tonight or that, you know, 80s like big UFO documentary, and then like one or two things, but there's no paper trail on him. And I've asked Greg about it. I think Greg
about it too.
And I think he does live in L.A., but what? I would love to talk to him. I'd love to talk to William Moore, too. My God.
Yeah,
I'd love to talk
to
William Moore. Oh, boy. I find him to be so fascinating. I would love to play him in a movie someday.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy whose story should be a movie. You know what I mean? They made one about that Gong Show guy fucking that was...
I mean, this... Yeah, I mean, I've told Greg a million times I think Project Beta should be a movie. I think it's...
I've said that, too. We should buy the rights to the movie from Greg, and you and I will write it.
Hey, I've talked to him about it. I mean, like, I think, you know, if I ever, you know, could gain any more influence in this business, that would be, like, a pet project of mine is to see Project Beta get made somehow. So I think it would be, it's just, and that
yeah,
is
that
actually.
Reads like a movie, too. It's like, I like about it, too, is it hits right in our sweet spot, which is like, it's about the person in the middle of all this shit, not like.
Exactly.
The UFO is a complete, it's a MacGuffin, actually, in that story.
It is.
You know, it's a spy satellite or whatever.
It's such an afterthought. You know, it's, and the thing about Project Beta, it's like, you know, there's a real sense of adventure and action, and there's a sense of, like, espionage and intrigue, and then there's also, like, this great sadness to that book. You know,
yeah,
like,
cause the guy's life is, like, fucking ruined.
Really, yeah. I mean, like, I was, like, very emotional when I read Project Beta. I'm like, man, this is really, like, this guy was really troubled, and he was really taken advantage of, and I don't know if it's one of those situations where you can necessarily blame people. There were people who were doing their jobs, and I think maybe they didn't realize what they were doing to him, or maybe they did. You know, but I mean, like, I don't think, like, you know, I'm not one of those people who's like,
well, that's
more
the thing. That's the human,
or,
you know, something that's life, though. I bet you it was both.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
I think you're
right. It's like they felt bad,
right,
and
yeah,
they knew it was their job, and they were conflicted, and it's like, I got to do this, but.
Yeah.
You know, maybe one day it was funny, and then another day you felt really bad, and then another day the guy kind of pissed you off, so you were like, good, fuck him. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, you know, like, I wonder, it would be so interesting, like, if you could get, because I know he has children, like, just from, like, I think reading Project Beta or other things, like, and his children, like, I think kept him away from, like, any, you know.
Yeah, Greg said, kids don't want him to do any of this stuff.
And I'm sure that's true, and, like, obviously that wish should be respected, but I wonder if there will ever be a time where they'll want to talk about it, you know, and, like, it may be in the proper format, like, if someone's like, hey, we want to kind of make a documentary and do it right, and, I mean, I don't know. It just,
I wonder if the guy
that
made Magic Man asked them, because he did do a documentary, essentially, that was like Project Beta.
Which, Mirage Man?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mirage Man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed Mirage Man, mostly because of seeing Rick Doty.
I'll be honest, I haven't actually seen it. So.
Oh, it's good. It is good. Like, I actually really like it. I've watched it a couple times. I just find that subject matter so fascinating. No, I don't think I read the book, too, and the book is not nearly as good as Project Beta. Project Beta is just a more, I don't think, intellectual look into it to me. But they're kind of covering sort of the same topic, although I think Greg's is much better version. But Rick Doty is in that a lot, and it is
right.
He is one of those guys to me. Like, I love, not like love him as a person, but I love a trickster, and Rick Doty is probably for me my favorite trickster in the UFO scene.
Yeah, like a John Lear kind of.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's like
Doty
old school
is,
trickster, yeah.
He's old school. God, put a pin in John Lear. I'd love to get back to him. I would love to talk. I could talk about John Lear for hours. But, by the way, one thing I just want to say, if you watch the the Stephen Greer documentary, Richard Doty is in it.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool to see a contemporary interview with Richard Doty.
So you just thought, anything with Rich Doty in it, you'll watch.
I will, because I'm so fascinated by him. This guy is just a cunning little trickster, and I think it's hilarious. Like, I think the whole Serpo thing is one of the greatest pieces of comedy in the 21st century. I love it. I love it so much.
Now, the more I talk to you now, I'm wishing that, like, they had said, like, fuck Tom DeLonge. We should just give this shit to Steve Berg.
They should have. Although I never would have played, you know, I'm too much of a jackass, I think.
This is one of ten, right? This is the show you pitch. That's the premise of the show.
I'm disclosure.
Yes, that the government found out you like UFOs, and since you're an actor, they're gonna make they're going to give you the information, and you're just like, I don't want to do that. I don't, you know, I don't want to be the other. They just tell you shit. Yeah. And they're like, well, we'll only tell you more about this if you do this.
Oh, man, I don't have the – I'm not even close to having enough juice, man. That, but you know what? That may
just be inspiring
me to push
it
over the top. I need to really kill it this year so I can be the people they approach to about disclosure. I would kill that job. I would nail it. I would nail it.
Yeah. Once you're like at the rocks at the rock spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, for sure. And going back to, I don't want to forget about John Lear. I love the John Lear interview you did years and years ago. That was that's old school, but all.
Yeah, that was like third season. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, some folks you interview, and they're like, most of those early season finale guests were like people that I couldn't believe. Like, if you go back and listen, it's like I couldn't believe that I actually got to interview them. Like, you can hear me.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like, that much. Like David Icke. Like, I interviewed David Icke. It was fucking awesome.
I forgot about that, man.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
How in the hell did you get – I mean, like, that can't be an easy get. And you were, like – your show was not that old then. Like, it was, like –
No, that was, like, season – that was, like, yeah, I was thinking it was – we did, like, Gary McKinnon.
Yeah, and even that – even – I mean, those
Yeah, nobody has an interview with him anymore.
You must have just had balls of steel, like, when you were, like, first started. Like, I don't care. I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, I would just chase people down. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the only person I ever, like, tried to chase down that never never did the show, and I wish I should try again now that it's last season, like I was saying about somebody else earlier, is Richard Hoagland. I always wanted to get Richard Hoagland on the show, and he never would do it.
Well, I mean, you know why he wouldn't do it, because you're going to ask him questions that not that you're like an aggressive, like, you know, host.
Yeah, but
like,
dude,
I'm
I've interviewed
prove
like,
you wrong.
But I've interviewed some of the best bullshit artists like in the whole history of the paranormal, and I never, you know, I never exposed them like that. That's not my business.
No, it isn't. It's also like you are letting them expose themselves to a certain way. You're like,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
You're like, keep on talking, man.
That's what I always said. I don't need to confront the guests. I just give them more and more rope, and they can hang themselves. And it's like, I don't need to be like, hey, you're full of shit, because if you just let them keep talking, eventually you're like, this guy's full of shit.
I think I finished all the vodka, so.
Do you want to do a shot, though?
I'll do a shot with you.
To every ufologist who is seeking the truth out there, who's digging deep and doing the legwork, this one goes for you.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Oh, mommy.